Howdy, y'all. In today's episode of the Innovation Room, we're talking all about consumer expectations for restaurants and how signage can help restaurant brands capture and even delight customers. Whether you're a sign company who works with restaurants or a restaurant brand yourself, we're hopeful that you'll find some valuable insights in today's episode. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm your host, Tori, here with my co-host, Rhiannon. And today we are diving into the top four signage trends that we think are shaping the restaurant industry in 2025 and beyond.
That's right, Tori. We are breaking down those trends for you. And what trends, you ask? So we are going to talk about the rise of digital and sustainable signage and also the shift from real neon to high-tech faux neon. And also just the data behind them and what that means for restaurants looking to stay ahead of the game.
So let's dig into our first topic, and wanted to start here partially because we just think it's an interesting topic, but it's also something that we're hearing a lot more chatter about. So focusing on first, the shift that we're seeing from real neon signage to faux neon or LED neon. We call it faux neon. We were just at a restaurant industry conference. We had a number of conversations there, as we've had over the last year, about restaurant brands who are looking to either replace their real neon with LED faux neon, or with folks who are actually looking to replace like-for-like neon in their restaurants.
Absolutely. And we're obviously gearing this towards restaurant, but this can go for retail or anybody, sure. Actually. They say, you know, that saying that all things come back around. And yeah. That's the issue that we were talking about today with neon. And neon was out and it was a bygone. Nobody really talked about neon. But now we get this buzz where more and more people are really interested and it's coming back around. So what can we do to make sure that it's still sustainable and working for the here and now? According to an August 2024 report by Research Nestor, the global LED neon lights market is projected to grow from $1.3 billion in 2024 to over $3.3 billion by 2037. And of course, like I said, those factors are driven by energy efficiency and also the design flexibility of the faux neon.
Yeah. So this is, I hesitate to say that this is like our pitch that people should use faux neon, except that it is. So it is an interesting thing when we have folks come to us and say, we're looking to replace like for like neon in our stores, in our restaurants, whatever. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But the biggest one is that just in general, LED is more energy efficient. It's safer. It lasts longer than neon signage. And we've had some folks come back and say, neon is still a really valuable art form. And no one here is disagreeing with that. So if you're someone who loves neon or is maybe even a neon vendor, we think neon is a fantastic art form, a fantastic form of signage.
It's
nostalgic. Actually started.
Yeah, it throws totally you back to a certain time where it was 100%. All neon. You look at 100%. Places like Vegas in the signage there, and it was all neon. And that's where the neon really started and has the, you know, when you think of neon and all those signs, like Vegas is one of those places. And it is nostalgic. It's something that really throws people back. And I think we're coming into, people want to be different. Mm-hmm. People want to show what their brand really is and something new and fun and unique. And people want that experience. And I think that's where people are come back to being interested in the neon and how they can really characterize it to really, truly what they want. Because of just the feel of it and what it, and it's kind of that, again, old time nostalgia coming back. And like Tori said, we're not saying that neon isn't great, because it was, and it's a huge part of course our history. We started as a neon shop over 90 years ago, and so it's a big deal. It's a big deal for North American. It's a huge part of our history. However, take it from me, who repairs signage on a regular basis, real neon is getting very hard to repair because there are very few techs out there that really will work on neon anymore. The other thing along with that is just the cost effectiveness of it. Mm-hmm. It is very expensive to replace any of the parts. And even you're talking about your power supplies within the transformers. They're really hard to come by. Not a lot of companies are making those at all anymore. Then you have also have states that are making certain regulations that it's not even allowed. And then you talk about the disposal of neon. There's a neon fee for disposal because of this certain gases and things and how it's made. Also, on top of that, it's very fragile. One thing that your faux LED neon is not, but real neon is very fragile. So the odds of if you do want to have, say, a piece, say we have a letter for your restaurant and just that section is out. If we want to rebend that neon piece, the odds of it breaking in transit is actually very high because there aren't many neon distributors or there aren't many neon vendors anymore. So usually it has to come from further away. The odds of it breaking and has having to redo it is very high. So there are lots of kind of key points in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, neon is really cool. It really is. And the look of it is really cool. But can we provide the same look that you are wanting to create with the faux neon?
100%. And to get into kind of the energy efficiency piece of this, on average, your faux neon or your LEDs are going to use about 80% less energy than traditional neon, right? So you have lower costs to power the sign. You've got lower costs to manufacture and install that sign. That faux neon is going to last 5 times longer or more than your traditional neon sign. So there's just a lot of reasons to think about shifting if you're still on the fence or maybe still on the side of real neon. But the other thing to consider is also that LEDs can change colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are maybe wanting to shift the ambiance on the exterior or interior of your building, you also have an amount of customizability there that you don't get with neon signage. There's, as Rhiannon mentioned, neon signage is glass tubes, and inside those glass tubes is different types of gas, and that gas turns different colors when the sign is powered. Okay, so you can't change the gas, which means that you can't change the color. LED signs do that literally at the click of a button. So it's just all important things to think about.
As they fade, they don't fade well. So you'll have the color difference in your sign depending on when one is dimming compared to the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously LEDs go out and they are repaired, but it just, again, is a completely different look and versus one sign. I mean, we've all seen a neon sign that's going dim and it doesn't look right. Of course, mm-hmm. us signage people know a lot more than others may. So I say that and maybe I'm wrong, but it's true. So just overall, if you are truly looking for that real nostalgic neon, we would suggest you going local and having, if you can find a local vendor to install, service, and the future of that neon. Obviously, it depends on state, city, what the regulations are and everything. But it's really hard to have a national rollout of real neon these days. It just really is. Okay, Tori, let's go into the rise of interactive digital menu boards. So what does that mean? Digital signage isn't new. We all know that. It's been around for a while. But in 2025, we're seeing a huge shift towards the interactive digital menu boards. And this enhances customer experience. As we all know, that's what we want. We want the full customer experience.
Absolutely. You're already seeing this play out in a lot of your major brands, right? You walk into a McDonald's that's been updated in the last couple of years, they're going to have those interactive menu boards outside of their what's the word I'm looking for? Where you would normally talk to the point of sale.
Yes.
So a lot of them already have those interactive boards, but I think we're going to see it start to trickle down to other brands, smaller brands even. A survey by Dot Signage actually did find that for 91% of restaurants that implemented digital sign menus, they reported up to a 10% increase in sales. This is definitely something to think about for those brands. If you're in the fast service space, this is really something to think about. Excuse me, quick service, QSR is the correct term there.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that's one thing that I didn't know. 10% really across the board. That's actually a pretty big number.
Why
are people wanting these menu boards that we don't normally or that we are seeing more of? So obviously there's room for personalization. They can modify orders. They can see all the ingredients. That's something that is, I think, key. It makes it very easy to personalize your order when you're going in. And for example, I hate onions. So any sandwich I want, I can just right there on the screen, make sure that I know that I put no onions on there. And it's really easy for you to see. And I think people like having that control over their order. And also like the ingredients in everything. Sometimes when you're just looking at a regular menu board, it doesn't have all those listed. And Panera was one that I had went to recently. And I didn't necessarily know what was on one of their sandwiches. And so looking at everything, it's just so easy to see and easy to customize. So also there's the allergy. A lot of people have different allergies to everything. So you can have different options where these are dairy-free, these are gluten-free, or you receive specific warnings that come up that this has gluten or this has a certain allergy. So that's also something I think that people are really interested in seeing the customization and, again, feeling like they're important. I'm important to this company because they care about my needs and what my expectations are. So I think it's also, for some people, it's almost just, again, the experience. It's fun. I wouldn't necessarily say I agree fully with let's get rid of the people up front, because I think sometimes we're doing a little bit too much of that with getting rid of humans. We talked a while ago about AI replacing humans. Let's not do that completely. But I do see definitely some perks for, especially in the restaurant industry, for this. You know, when you go to sit down restaurants, a lot of times they have the where you can pay right there on the little tablet or pad or whatever they have. And that's something that, again, it's more convenient. People are busy. They want to get out. They don't want to have to wait for the waitress to come back. And there's also games and interactive things on there. Although they catch you when you have to pay when you got kids at the table and they just start pushing buttons. But it's that convenience that people are always looking for and that innovation that people want something new and different. So
absolutely.
What else are we going to see?
For sure. And I want to circle us back for just a second to what you mentioned earlier with the health side of things, right? We're seeing a lot of people hopping on the MAHA movement, right? This is the Make America Healthy Again. Yep. RFK Jr. is leading this, right? So a lot of people are having bigger conversations in a much more public way than we saw even 6 months ago about what's really in our foods, right? We're talking about seed oils. We're talking about where we're sourcing our meat from and where is our dairy coming from, right? We're having all these conversations. And so for restaurants to be able to provide the information about where they're sourcing their food from is really important, right? Grass-fed beef is really good for you, but also I almost want to say trendy, right? So if your business happens, even if you are a quick service restaurant, if you happen to use grass-fed beef, that would be a great thing to promote both on your standard menu boards and on those interactive displays. So these are all things to think about. But like Rhiannon was saying, that personalization is the really key part of making someone's experience in your restaurant really delightful, really helpful. It makes them feel like you as a brand know them and care about them. So all really good things to keep in mind. It is expected that more than 65% of restaurants are going to adopt some type of interactive digital signage by the end of 2025. A lot of folks are already there. I think we're just going to continue to see that number grow.
It's interesting. Remember the shift from when restaurants had to put like calories on their menus and on their menu boards? It's interesting. I feel like when that happened, it was such a big, oh my gosh, you know, it was that eye-opening for so many people. But now we're past that. We don't just want to know how many calories. We want to know what type of calories we're consuming. And people really are into certain allergies and how things affect their bodies. And it is, mm-hmm. I don't want to say trend, but yes, that's what we're talking about today. It is trending that way, where people care more about what they are consuming and where we are getting it from. So the faster restaurants become accustomed to this, it's probably going to be for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that we've talked about a lot on the podcast is, anyone who's heard us knows, AI is a component of this as well. If you're plugging AI into your digital menu boards, AI can help you adjust pricing and promotions based on things like time of day, how much inventory you have, different factors like that. So there are ways to make it not just a delightful personalized experience for your customers, but actually more efficient for you, and to make your pricing structures adaptable to the environment, what's going on in the economy, all those different things. Here's a fun fact somewhat related to this topic, but also not. So maybe it's a conspiracy theory, I don't know. But have you heard this, that McDonald's will start selling McRibs when the economy is about to go down or even into a recession?
I have not.
Something about like the way that meat prices fluctuate, that the, I guess, ribs become more...
Being a marketing guru, you should look into this a little bit more.
I know.
Because that's what I was just thinking in regards to marketing. Something else with the customization of these, like, if you want a certain restaurant, sometimes they're out of certain things. To be able to actually take that off the menu immediately and not annoy people is huge. When they go to order something and, hey, we're out of that right now or whatever. Mm-hmm. On the opposite end, I was thinking marketing as well. For example, Subway. Mm-hmm. If you've already ordered a sub through there, they have one of these kiosks and it's all digital. And they will remember your order as long as you mm-hmm. put in your code or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. So if you get the same exact thing, people are creatures of habit. When mm-hmm. I go to Subway, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get the same thing. So mm-hmm. instead of having to put every single ingredient in, it just says, hey, would you like to order or reorder your last order? Yes, it doesn't. It shoots it on through and there it is. So everybody's doing the, like, I don't know, kind of this mobile app, the Starbucks app, things along mm-hmm. those lines where you order ahead of time. But if you want to just impromptu, hey, I see Subway, I want to pull on in, that's really nice that they already have your order there. Go ahead and just hit send, and they're already on their way to making it.
Yeah, it's insanely convenient, especially if you're an introverted person, right? You'd rather not talk to a person when you're ordering your food. And this is a final thought here on this topic. This is just something that I've been thinking about as we're considering quick service restaurants versus full service restaurants, right? And people still do value the human touch. In fact, I was in a restaurant just a couple weeks ago that was like this Italian speakeasy vibe, and they really do an amazing job with customer service and with interacting with their guests. They have entertainment and all these different pieces that go into making that really fun experience for their guests. And so I wonder if we're going to start to see even more of a split or a dichotomy between the absolute speed and efficiency that you experience mm-hmm. in a QSR restaurant versus the really delightful, magnetizing type of experience that you get in some full service restaurants right now. I wonder if we're just going to see even more of a split. People desire even more interaction at a full service restaurant, and even less interaction at a quick service restaurant.
Well, look at the change from, there was just fast food and sit down. Mm-hmm. And then we have this fast casual piece. So mm-hmm. yes, where else are we going to split in that? And I couldn't agree more. I think there is definitely, especially with the fast food restaurants, mm-hmm. there is going to be more and more AI, these digital menu boards, and there are going to be less and less actual human interaction in that type of setting. And I could see smaller, because even now, like some of the fast food specific places, like how many people actually go and sit in McDonald's? Not a huge amount, right? It's the majority is through their drive-through. So what is that going to look like? Are we going to see a lot smaller buildings and footprints for those type of places that really it's the kitchen, maybe a couple seating out front, but really it's the kitchen? It's very mm-hmm. interesting to see those shifts. I mean, a lot of restaurants obviously have when they're updating to a more modern look, where some things don't even look like your typical McDonald's or things along those lines. But I think there might be definitely some shift in the actual footprint of the restaurant as well.
Absolutely. I'm already seeing that here in Houston, right? So we tend to get a lot of the early footprints of those newer brands. There's a little restaurant called Salad and Go, and I love them. And if you have one near you, you should go, because it's these amazing salads. I'm not really even a salad person, but they're so good and a really good price and all that good stuff. Sponsor me, Salad and Go. That's exactly what they've got going on, right? So they're purely a drive-through. You can pre-order if you want to. And then, so there's a separate window for that, or you just run through the drive-through. It is insanely fast. I've never sat in their drive-through for more than 3 minutes, probably. And they're popping up all over the place down here. So I have to think that they're doing well and they're expanding quickly, but you never wait. So it never seems like they're busy, but they must see a lot of traffic because they're growing so fast. But I think you're right. We're going to start to see more and more restaurants with that model of kitchen only. You're just driving through to pick up lunch in the middle of the workday or whatever. So
it really depends on what you're looking for. And there is that shift where I don't want to deal with people. I just want my food and I got to get back to doing what I was doing. Or my kids are screaming in the back of my van. Just give me the food dinner so I can get home and feed these crazy kids. It's a difference. Or do I want the experience? Do I want to go sit down? And I still think there's going to be that need for the fast casual where people have a quick lunch and they want to sit down and chat and meet somebody for a quick lunch. I do think that's not going away. So that's not what we're saying. But definitely there will be, I think, more and more split and more division between all of those. Good point, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, y'all. Third trend that we are talking about today is focused on really just sustainability and eco-friendly signage. So we've talked about sustainability before on the podcast, but I think it bears talking about again. So we're seeing more and more restaurants, of course, embracing eco-friendly signage that aligns with consumer demand for greener practices. This is happening across all industries, not just restaurants.
Absolutely. More and more consumers are demanding to know how brands are committed to sustainability practices. Both sign companies and the brands they work with need to really get on board. And they need to make sure they're sourcing sustainability and learning how to talk about it with their customers. Because that's the big shift. It used to just be, are you a sustainable company? Now it's prove to me how you're sustainable. What exactly are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things that if you're in the signage space and you're wanting to lean more into sustainable sourcing for your clients, lots of folks are talking about using recyclable aluminum or bamboo or even plant-based plastics for their signage materials. As far as paints and ink goes, we're talking about water-based and low VOC inks. VOC stands for volatile organic compound. And those are replacing some of those printing methods. So these are all really good conversations. And
on my end, preventative maintenance obviously is a big thing. People don't want to have constant waste. So what we're finding is people want to know up front, we have this asset, which is our sign. Normally signage wasn't really considered an asset. It was just basically it's there because we have to have it and we need it, but it wasn't really considered an asset. So I think we're looking a lot more at, from the start, what can we do to help prolong that signage and use and have less waste, where we're constantly, okay, every 5 years we have to have a new sign. Mm-hmm. Not only with signage, but we're also looking at this with like awnings. We have a lot of clients that have awning cleaning programs with us where every month or every quarter we are out there cleaning their awnings, and hopefully that can sustain them and keep them a little bit longer. And it does. Obviously, this all depends on where you're located and all things. There's so many different factors that play into this. If you're in Texas like Tori and the sun is beating down on your sign constantly, sometimes it is hard to keep those signs bright and vibrant because that sun, that natural light, definitely dims those colors. But there are a lot of things that your sign company can do to help things last longer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to, if you are a sign company, to research how long are these alternative products going to last, right? So how long does a plant-based plastic last as compared to your standard forms of plastic and acrylic? Does it last as long? I don't actually know. I'm guessing it might not last as long. Mm-hmm. And so it's valuable to have the conversation with your clients as well. Are you more interested in this sign lasting for 10 years, or would you rather source a more sustainable plastic and use that in your signage, knowing that you might need to replace it sooner than you would if you use something that was standard?
But it's probably more biodegradable at the same time. Yep. So again, what is most important? If you're a brand, maybe a newer brand that potentially could have a rebrand in the future, that's something to think about as well. Mm-hmm. That what do we want to do, that knowing that potentially we could have a rebrand in the future and want to change everything out 5 years from now. So looking at things in future planning is a big thing that we need to talk about as well. And having your sign company be able to talk you through this on mm-hmm. what the options are.
Yep, absolutely. Your signage vendor should always be a trusted partner and able to counsel you as you're trying to navigate how to best use exactly what Rhiannon said, your assets, your signage assets, your brand assets, because they are your best unpaid salesperson. Okay, y'all, in last section of today's podcast, we're talking about just the sustained value of customer service and communication, really over the value of, or I guess the value savings of inexpensive signage. So we hear a lot from folks in the restaurant industry and in other industries as well, just often how dissatisfied they are with the poor customer service that they receive from some of their signage vendors. So we want to address that today.
100%. And that's something that we hear time and time again. And 9 times out of 10, when somebody is leaving to look for a different vendor or a different sign company, one of the things that they say is, we just don't feel heard. And the communication is lacking. We're always the one reaching out to them. They're not reaching out to us. They're not updating us. And what I can say just as a whole in this industry, for anybody, not just sign companies, but we all have our own specific industries, is that the FMs on this side that are dealing with restaurants or retail, they're not only dealing with the one industry. They're not only dealing with roofs or signage, or they're dealing with all of it as a whole. I guess this is our just message for everybody to, you know, it's time for us to step up our game in regarding customer service and just that quality of communication and what they need and doing what we can do to make their job a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's as much a message for restaurants as it is for sign companies. Restaurants, we want to really encourage you, search out those sign companies that really understand the importance of quality communication, that are willing to take the time to understand your brand. It's going to serve you so much better in the long run, right? It might be a little more expensive, but I think you'll find that's an expense that's probably pretty worth it. And we know, right, that signage that's branded, that is true to your brand, really builds trust with your customers, with your clients. It helps improve the guest experience, whether you're in a restaurant or a retail space or a corporate office, whatever your situation is, that signage helps build trust. And that is more important to you as a brand, I would assume / hope, than mostly anything else. No one's going to come buy from you again if they couldn't figure out where to park in the parking lot or how to navigate your facility or anything like that. So
the last really thing we want is to induce frustration, right?
Yes.
That is not what we want. And we have seen countless times how poor signage can induce that frustration in your clients. And that's not what you want. So great signage also equals great customer service for a start.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of factors, like I said, that play into it, but customers expect that seamless navigation, clear messaging, welcoming mm-hmm. atmosphere from the minute they walk in. And especially large brands, you'll see the large brands that do this very well. Mm-hmm. And how you feel. Just think about how you feel for with brands that do that well, that have a clear navigation. Where are you supposed to park? Where is the parking for pickup? Where is the parking, like we talked about, for order pickup versus this drive-thru is for this, this drive-thru is that. Everything is changing a little bit more. So signage is so important for those specific spots, because there's not just, I'm going to the grocery store and I park here and I go in. That's not the case anymore. Now we got lots of different options of what we need to do. So just that welcoming atmosphere and decreasing the client's stress and frustration from the moment that they walk in. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, there's also insights specifically for sign companies, obviously, in this. We are a sign company, so we can focus on that message as well. And this goes for both internal and external. And we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast, which is the clear communication.
Yes.
And I think that what I want to point out more than anything is that this goes both ways. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that it's a partnership. And so whether you have the restaurant or you have your vendor, whether that be signage or anybody else, right now we're talking about signage, it goes both ways. One of the most refreshing conversations that I had recently was with a newer client, and we had a large project. And after the project was done, they're the ones that reached out to us and said, actually laid it out. Here's some questions that we had for you. What can we do better that to make it easier on your end? It's both sided. And if you don't recognize that and you just automatically assume that, oh, they're the vendor and they should be asking all the questions, that's not necessarily the case, or vice versa, where it helps to really, there's a lot of things that people don't know within the process of the sign industry, whether it be start, you know, a new signage or in the repairs department. When you're doing a large project like that and then you stop to reflect, that's huge. We ironed out some things that neither of us really knew. And going forward for the next project, we'll do better. And that's a consistent revolving door that is just, okay, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? And that open communication with the client is just priceless.
Yeah, so valuable. You can't put a price on it. And I think that's even a larger conversation in the restaurant industry or just the facility maintenance space in general. How do you build connections with vendors, build relationships that are based on trust, and celebrate the wins, and then have honest conversations about how do we improve? We as a sign company, and I hope I speak for many sign companies out there, that we want that kind of feedback too, right? We want you to be really transparent about the success or lack of success in the project, and let's make improvements because we want to be a partner to you. And so for sign companies, even if you want to set that agenda yourself with your client or ask them if they're just willing to have a conversation about, hey, we completed X number of locations for you. Can we just have a 20-minute chat about what went well and what didn't? Having, evaluative conversations. I love that, Rhiannon. That's a great thing.
I always say I can't fix things that I don't know about. And sometimes in the busyness of projects and everything we got going on, it's in our nature to just want to move on to the next big thing, the next big project. And whether that even be with the same client, especially on the newer clients where you're still learning the ins and outs of how everybody works, it is crucial to have almost a powwow at the end of that project and say, okay, let's talk this through. What can we do better? How can we communicate better? What did you enjoy working with us? How did it work for you on your end? Sometimes it's too, and sometimes we have a problem where there's too much communication and kind of almost too many fingers in the pot, or, you know, whatever kitchen, that saying is. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, since we're talking about restaurants, where sometimes we need to streamline that communication and say, okay, if it would work better for you at the end of the week, we'll send a spreadsheet to you with these locations and where they're at in the process. Does that work better? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's no, we want to make sure that everything goes through our website. Okay, we can do that as well. So it's just basically, it's a trial and error. Eliminate what didn't work. Start, you know, throw out ideas for maybe what might work better. And if you do that on a consistent basis and just reconnect with those clients, it's just huge with how much things just go so much smoother and are just so much easier as a whole. And everybody feels a little less stressed.
So much better. Yeah. And again, that responsibility can be taken on both by the restaurant and by the vendor, by the signage vendor. You don't have to wait for your client to come to you and say, hey, we hated this. You can just ask them. And likewise, if you're a client, just open the door for the conversation. And if that team isn't open to feedback, then is that really a team that you want to be working with anyway? Doesn't sound like they've got the right growth mindset. So all really good things to keep in mind. But again, we just want to emphasize that sometimes the benefit of having cheap signage doesn't always outweigh the benefits of having really great communication. It's an old mechanic that I used to go to had this sign. I'm sure y'all have heard this before, but it's that you can either have cheap service, fast service, or good service, but you can only have two. You can never have all three. So if it's cheap and it's good, it's not going to be fast. If it's cheap and it's fast, it's not going to be good, you know, right? And you can kind of go down the list. So it's not entirely that simplistic, but good things to keep in mind that maybe it is something that's really worth spending the money on.
Well, and I know Tori at the show, just last point here for this topic, had somebody come up that say, hey, we're looking for a new vendor because we think my vendor's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And there's some validity to that. Sometimes somebody is price gouging you. However, what I would say is overall, it's not just about the sign. It is about mm-hmm. the full experience from start to finish. And when you have a sign company that fulfills, it's one of those things that you have a lot on your plate. And I have clients that say, I don't even worry about my signs. No news is good news because I know that they've mm-hmm. got it taken care of. And there's clients that's what they want. I know that I'm going to hand it off to you and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Okay. But then mm-hmm. you have clients that want to check in every day. Okay, that works too. Well, what does that experience look like to you from mm-hmm. start to finish? So sometimes it is not just about the materials and what mm-hmm. is going on the actual wall, but the experience from start to finish. And what is the value of the actual partnership? And if you look at the value of the actual partnership and you say, ah, oh, man, I'm always reaching out to them. They never update me on things. I never know if the sign is lighting again. I don't know what the deadline is for this. I don't know when something is being delivered. Then yeah, there's definitely, are you getting value for your money? It, absolutely. You should always be looking at, are you getting value for your money? But mm-hmm. what is value to you? What is most important to you in your day, to your company? Are the signs on the wall the first day that you open? Are all the code checks done? Are all of the signed paperwork that everybody needs taken care of where you're not going to get fined? Has it been communicated to you when that sign's going to go on the wall? And has it been communicated to you with, if something goes wrong, what is your sign company going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Because it's inevitable. In this industry, it happens. I just want to know what you're going to do to rectify it. It happens. We're all human. We make mistakes. But again, what is the value that you are looking for? And that might be different for everybody. So what's the big takeaway? Now that we're done talking about the top trends going into 2025, I think that restaurants that embrace tech-driven, sustainable, and customer-focused signage will definitely stand out in 2025.
That's 100% true. So whether it's faux neon like we talked about at the beginning of the episode or those AI-powered digital menu boards, or just really high quality branding, the right signage can absolutely transform your dining experience.
So thanks for tuning in, you all. Don't forget to subscribe to our monthly InnoSign newsletter for more industry insights. And if you've spotted a cool signage trend amongst restaurants, drop them in the comments. I really want to know what is standing out to you. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thanks, y'all, for listening. We hope you got some valuable insights out of today's episode. And until next time, keep innovating.